Our next public hearing is ordinance amendment for the parking for multifamily.
Mr. Chairman, before I read the introduction for this ordinance amendment, I would again like to announce that since we have some new faces in the audience, that there was an application for Robert Sames, conditional use number 1644. That was withdrawn. It's been announced a couple times this evening. That is an application that was located at Shady Ridge outside of Rehoboth. It was withdrawn. And to proceed, this ordinance amendment is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Section 162, relating to the number of off-street parking spaces required for multifamily dwellings and townhouses. Do all the commissioners have copies of this proposed ordinance?
I need one.
Anyone else? This is an ordinance that was introduced on February 7th of 2006 before council. The present ordinance makes reference to the parking requirement for multifamily dwellings and townhouses being 3 parking spaces per family unit. There's a proposed amendment that the number of off-street parking spaces per dwelling unit shall be as indicated below, or as follows. The spaces required per dwelling unit shall be as indicated. First concept being 2 spaces per dwelling unit plus 1/2 a space for each bedroom over 3 bedrooms with a maximum of 3 spaces per dwelling unit. For 1 bedroom and efficiency units, the required number of parking spaces will be 1.5 spaces per unit. Second provision would be for each unit in excess of 50, the required parking shall be reduced by 15%. And for each unit in excess of 200, the required parking shall be reduced by 20%. The next provision would be that a minimum of 1 space per dwelling unit must be outside of a private enclosed garage and accessible to guests. The last bullet would be that when the total number of parking spaces required for a project contains a fraction, that number will be rounded up to the nearest whole number. The second part of the proposed ordinance is that for the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article 25, Section 115-188D7, is proposed to be amended by the following. Required off-street parking spaces per family dwelling unit shall be provided on the lot of each dwelling unit or within an on-site parking area within the common area or a combination of both, with approval subject to site plan review. Required off-street parking space of 2 spaces per apartment shall be provided on premise of an apartment building. And just in synopsis, the amended changes the number of parking spaces required for multifamily dwellings and townhouses from 3 spaces per unit to a bedroom-based formula per dwelling unit as defined in Section 115-4B. The new basis follows the Ocean City, Maryland model. The total requirement is modified on the assumed economies of scale for large developments as used in Virginia Beach, Virginia, for reference points. It shows that we've looked at other models for reference purpose in preparing this ordinance. And we have no written comments received from any individual or agency on this proposed ordinance. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, so thank you, Mr. Lang. Gentlemen, anyone wish to express an opinion at this time or a suggestion or comment?
I have a question for Mr. Katz, if I could. When you went to the Ocean City, Maryland model, did Ocean City have a definition of bedroom also somewhere in their zoning ordinance? Because it seems like that's a term that's got a lot of wiggle room. Not whether it's a bedroom or not, but whether a room is used as a study or a bedroom or a...
Well, while Rick's looking for that in the discussion,
Yeah, leave that go, please.
in discussing this ordinance, we that question came up when we first started discussing use of bedrooms, and we kind of advised the council the problems that we've seen from statements made by Denrick officials and trying to calculate areas for septic when they're based on bedrooms. Right. And we found that a home that has two bedrooms, a library, a study, a den, turns into five bedrooms on occasion. And we've seen some problems with that based on the capacity of the septic system failures. And that's just in reports that we've heard from Denrick. And we expressed that concern to council in looking at parking in the same method. Because when we would see a site plan, they're going to say it was one and a half bedrooms or two bedrooms or whatever. And what they built may be something different.
With three family rooms.
Yep. So that was just a concern we had, how we would have to verify and inspect the number of bedrooms. Difficulty we have too is that we've had the problem whereby a single family residence that allowed one cooking facility, and we approve the CO to occupy the unit or certificate of compliance, and then we find that they've moved in another kitchen and they're using it for two family dwelling. So we've had that problem over the years also.
Then my only other second question was, I guess for Rick or Lawrence or somebody, for the second bullet, it says for each unit in excess of 50, the required parking shall be reduced by 15%, and for each unit in excess of 200, the required parking shall be reduced by 20%. It seems like if you have potentially 199 units, by the time you reduce it for the way it's worded, 15% for each unit, you end up with maybe an absurd result. I don't think that's what was intended. The way it's worded, I think that needs to be looked at.
I didn't mean to butt in on Rick, but while you were looking, I just offered it first.
But in answer to your first question, I don't know the answer. But first of all, I think it's going to be part of a building code, the exact definition of the build of a bedroom.
Right,
okay. But even absent that, I think the comments Mr. Lank made show the practical problems with enforcement, regardless of whether you had a definition or not, or how tight the definition is.
Well, that's what I was
there's
thinking. Why not?
There's a real problem,
you know, where you know you got plumbing or you don't have plumbing. You know,
yeah. It's long-term enforcement is where the real issue comes, because even if it meets the definition when it's constructed, that doesn't mean it will remain a bedroom or not a bedroom, depending on what the circumstances are. And so the eventual needs of the development may change over time, depending on how the units are changed. I mean, the downstairs garage in a townhouse is a classic example. It ends up being closed off and converted to a family room or whatever, and it's not used as a garage parking. So it points out some of the problems with this approach as opposed to the per unit approach, which is what's in the ordinance right now. And there was a second question.
The second one, it was with the second bullet, the one.
Yeah, there's probably some clarification that could be made there. In one of the last parking related ordinances that was passed, there was a reference to how that open space could be used, because in theory, if you're supposed to have 200 parking spaces, but because of this you only need 180, that leaves some amount of space that would be open. The previous ordinance amendment prohibited using that for additional units. It has to remain an open space, so that part of the issue is addressed. But if there's some clarification and language that you need there,
because the way it's worded, it just seems, and this I'm not, you know, for or against the concept of this, but it seems like for each unit you get a 15% reduction in the required parking. So you have 51, you right. Reduce parking by 15%. 52 is another 15%. 53, and it seems like you just keep. Right. And I don't know that that's what was intended.
And in terms of clarification, I think from an administrative point of view, Mr. Lank and I talked about it, and for the commission's consideration, I'm passed down. proposed revision to the language that attempts to clarify. In reading this, we think adding a language referencing for each development in excess of 50 units. And Mr. Lank anticipated some misunderstanding of the intent of the language, and so this should clarify that if it's so enacted. So for your consideration, we want to enter that into the record.
So if I might ask, is the concern that we have condominiums or apartment complexes where we have too many available parking spots that are just sitting vacant?
It's much the same as shopping centers planning parking spaces for the 2 weeks before Christmas, but the rest of the 50 weeks out of the year, there's excess parking. It's sort of an attempt to finer tune the parking requirements for a residential development that gets it closer to what the real need would be.
Have you seen any of these complexes where there's an overabundance of available parking?
I think that really depends.
I mean, I've never seen an Ocean City.
Well, the first discussion was whether we would just reduce it back from three parking spaces.
That's where it started.
And that's what we voted against.
And this is an attempt to draw some compromise between three and two.
Okay.
It is somewhere in between more than two but less than three.
And the third bullet referencing the minimum of one space per dwelling unit must be outside of a private enclosed garage or inaccessible to guests. That's something that's been questioned by commission and council. And if the garage has got two parking spaces, you don't just count two parking spaces outside in the driveway, because they may not be utilized. They may be parked by the family, and the garage might be converted to something else. Then there's no park. Adequate parking is not available. So this would provide it for a small parking area that was set aside for a few cars outside of the drive into that unit.
Outside of the driveway.
Off the driveway somewhere else.
This doesn't say that though.
Off to the side or something of nature. Well, it does of sorts, and it makes reference. It must be outside of a private enclosed garage and accessible to guests.
Which could be the driveway.
Possibly it could be, but that may need to be clarified also. But that was the intent, was to try to come up with some wording that would provide that there would be. You had a two-car garage and you had two garage spaces, you would only have one accounted for as far as counting it outside as being one of the three. And either the next one would be for guests, or you'd have to have it off-site somewhere else. That's what I understood it to be.
Anyone else comment at this time?
Yeah, I guess a comment. Kind of slow picking up here. We're following the Ocean City, Maryland model because is it a model of success?
This isn't necessarily a staff recommendation. This has been requested, prepared as a request and for consideration. And I don't know that there is any special reason why Ocean City was selected. It was part of an analysis that was conducted that looked at other ordinances that dealt with the way this is being presented, and that happens to be
not so much because Ocean
not
City
because
works
it's
or doesn't
a better
work,
because it doesn't. It's just saying this is based on what they're using.
It's based on that ordinance, not necessarily because it's a superior model or whatever.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Rick. When we went to public hearing before council with a previous ordinance, a document was provided to council that showed comparisons of what our requirements were, what our ordinance proposed at that time, versus counties around us.
Right.
Wicomico, Worcester, Ocean City, and that was
Virginia
Beach. And that was in a report, which we hadn't seen until we walked to council that day. And then they started reviewing that report more than the ordinance that was before them and came up with the scenario to come up with a revised ordinance based on bedrooms. So that's where we are.
Would my thinking be flawed if I were to say what we're trying to do is draft an ordinance that's going to be in effect for the whole county and that maybe problems associated over in saltwater Sussex would not necessarily be the same problems in soybean Sussex?
Well, I think that was part of the discussion before council. My recollection is correct.
That there may just by the dynamics of...
I don't think it was in those terms, but...
Of social interplay and with the seasonal rentals, things like that, that there may be things in the coastal area that would not be in effect in Bethel.
Our ordinances have always been written. Ordinances have always been written to be countywide. We haven't separated the ordinance to have a one requirement for the east versus the west.
No, right, and not anywhere suggesting
that. Might not be a good idea in some issues, but it doesn't work that way right now.
In no way suggesting that. Is my thinking flawed that our problem is to draft something that's going to be good for the county? And when you're saying that we're considering other counties around us and their models where we have our own set of problems and circumstances here, such as Ocean City, where they're using multi-tiered parking garages. I see in my area a lot of the garages being built too small for the vehicles that come down when somebody from Westchester County, New York comes down in an expedition with a Thule on top. They can't fit in their garage. They did not know that they could not fit their vehicle in that garage.
Buyer beware.
But
stuck.
In terms of land use, there are many examples I think you can find where where vehicle ownership and vehicle uses seems to be growing at a faster rate than the population. Cars seem to be reproducing faster with, if you look at registrations with multiple ownership, multiple vehicles for one owner, add to that trailers and boats and camping trailers and recreational trailers, the on-the-road vehicles, there ends up being quite a few. And just because they're rental doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have fewer vehicles.
All right.
Go ahead. If the number of parking spaces are reduced, does that then allow for greater density on that lot?
I think I tried to address that. If the the item two that allows fewer spaces with the larger projects, no, it wouldn't allow for additional units they'd have. And that comes from an amendment that we did, I think it was the one that was just passed on.
You'll take his word for it.
Yeah.
We dealt
with that in a previous ordinance amendment.
Because one of the issues has been with the impervious surface and in terms of the parking, and that's why they're wanting to, at least that's one of the rationale behind reducing the number of parking spaces is to reduce the amount of impervious space. But if we reduce the amount of required parking, are they then going to build more buildings?
Right. I think that's been addressed with the previous ordinance. It has to remain an open space.
Okay.
Mr. Burton?
That was my question. So the it's open space that will be the gain in this already passed ordinance.
That's correct.
All right, well, let's see if anyone from the public has an interest. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in regard to this ordinance amendment for multifamily parking? Yes, sir, come on up. Give us your name and address, please.
My name is Carl Bartel, 109 Bradley Lane in Lewis. I happened to recently buy a condominium, and it only has two parking spaces available for it. If there's two people living in that condominium, husband and wife, they're going to have two cars. And if you park one car in the garage and one car in the parking lot, or parking driveway, somebody's always wrong. Somebody's going to be blocked in all the time. And what I would ask is that as you look at this, take that into account, the fact that you actually need a third place in that situation, so that if you're counting the garage as a parking space, you really shouldn't count the driveway to the garage as a parking space as well. It should be another off-site parking space so that you still have two, but you're not blocking in each other. That would be the only thing I would ask the commission this evening.
Essentially, what you're asking is to not have the spaces stacked.
Correct. You have to have access to both spaces. Otherwise, it's like I'm double parking.
Can I ask Mr. Bartell a question?
You may.
If you have a guest come to your condominium, where do they currently park?
You have to hope then at that point that there's been enough foresight that there are guest spaces, or that you have a good enough rapport with your neighbors that one of your neighbors lets you use it. That does become a problem. You need to look at the fact that there's always going to be at least two, probably, if not three people, that'll be in that condominium as guests or whatever. If it's a large group, then you'll probably get to make arrangements with your condominium association to maybe to get the spaces. But as a just a common sense type of thing, you need those spaces available for you and your wife or whatever, and another space because you're going to have the guests.
So do you buy the common sense position that was presented to us before, that if someone is renting that condo, that the husband and wife agree to leave one car home and just...
That won't work. It's just not going to work.
Thank you.
It's not going to work.
So, and again, you said that you have purchased a condo, right?
Yes.
And you have two spaces, one in the garage and one in the driveway.
Yes.
You don't have two spaces outside?
No.
You have a single drive with a garage.
And you drive in and you have...
Where else to park?
There are other places right now, but as I will see a point when those will start being filled up by the other people that are there, and as you get larger, the situation becomes worse, and I'm hearing as you get larger, it's being attenuated, and that really doesn't seem logically to be the case, that the more people you get there, the more guests you're going to have.
Is yours built out? Is your development entirely built out now?
No, it's still in the process.
Still open space around that can be used
It's beautifully done and everything. It's just that I foresee that if the law is written or the ordinance is written that you restrict the number of spaces that each individual owner would have access to because of some underlying reason that doesn't make sense, then you're going to have problems. You're going to have people living in those units. You hope for one and give them two spaces, but if there's two and maybe even a young child or a child that's high school age that has to drive, all of a sudden you've got a need for three parking spaces.
Is there the additional spaces that aren't reserved for the individual owners, the two spaces?
They all seem to be marked for a particular unit at this point. And there may be others, but you're going to be at a distance away from your home.
So if you have an overnight guest, there is a space for unit 141 someplace out there that could be used for your guest.
There may be, it would not be one designated for that, but it would be overflow basic type of parking. You have the ones designated for your unit, and then maybe not near you, you have the overflow, and yes, they could park away from you, but still that would have to be taken into your account in some way. It would have to be included either as part of your formula or in addition to the formula, X number of spaces to cover those kinds of contingencies.
And how many bedrooms do you have?
Two.
How many family rooms do you have?
Zero.
We were discussing earlier, what do they define as a bedroom? Yeah. Well, I got two bedrooms and three family rooms. Thank you, sir.
Be nice. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anyone else like to speak in regard to this ordinance? Yes, ma'am. Step right up.
You don't have to come up.
Good evening, gentlemen.
It'll
here we have a new. I hear we have a new system this
it'll
evening.
It'll pick you up.
It was picking you up back there.
That's what Mr. Stickles told me this evening. He said you'll be able to have all of this recorded and on the website this evening.
Including all the rattling of the papers.
That's right.
For the record, my name is Wendy Baker. I live in Bethany Beach, Delaware. And before I purchased my unit in a condo, I had a Suburban and a Saab, and I made sure that my Suburban fit in my garage. So there are people out there that do drive larger vehicles, and if they're purchasing a unit and it has a garage, that's kind of a logical thing, that step that you would follow would be to make sure that your vehicle does fit in your garage. If that was one of my criteria for purchasing my house. I'm here this evening to express my thoughts and share with you related experiences with regard to the proposed parking ordinance before you tonight. I'd like to disclose that as I stand before you, I'm wearing several hats, of which you should be aware. And you've probably already heard this before, and I apologize to you, but we had these ordinances before.
Get it on the record.
Yes, sir. I believe that the parking ordinances offer a positive impact to our environment. For the record, I am president and CEO of the Sussex County Land Trust, which is a part-time paid position. When I speak about the environmental impact, it is not on behalf of the Board of Trustees of this nonprofit. It is my own personal beliefs and experiences that I have obtained. The other hat that I wear is my full-time position with Ocean Atlantic Associates as a project manager for Painter's Mill and the Vineyards of Nassau Valley, two RPCs. Parking for residences and visitors not only is expensive to build and maintain, but also it often can require as much or more space in a multifamily project than the land needed for the housing. Excessive parking wastes land, results in stormwater runoff into streams, limits flexibility in site design, and deters pedestrian and transient uses. Across the nation, communities are seeking ways in which to grow and prosper and ways in which to protect and enhance local and regional environmental resources. It is clear that pressure will intensify for development to both accommodate growth and to do its part to protect the environment and conserve energy. Consider the following trends. The U.S. population is expected to grow by more than 60 million by the year 2025. In fact, the majority of new growth will occur in coastal metropolitan areas where environmental resources tend to be the most fragile. In addition, the public is concerned about the loss of open space. Open space protection efforts are valuable, such as the Sussex County Land Trust, a public-private partnership, but they are not sufficient to address the long-term environmental and economic objectives. These objectives need a broader range of options. One important tool in an effort to make growth more environmentally sensitive will be in the development of more projects that meet environmental objectives. Many barriers related to regulatory issues, financing, market trends, and neighborhood opposition stand in the way of developers who want to build projects that promote environmental quality. These efforts are crucial because accommodating future growth without a serious loss of environmental quality requires viewing environmentally sensitive projects as a solution, not as an exception. We should keep in mind the environmental protection and land development are not necessarily incompatible objectives. By developing the land with care, natural resources can be enhanced. Compact development usually harms the environment less than a comparable amount of scattered, lower density development. By using less land, by concentrating development in less sensitive areas, and by minimizing impervious surfaces, compact development compared with low density development infringes less on wetlands and forest, protects the fragmentation of wildlife habitat, reduces stormwater runoff, and saves pristine open space. The amount of roads and parking necessary to support compact development is less, which means that less impervious cover is needed. Less impervious cover means that less urban runoff, which is urbanization's leading pollutant. Compact development can achieve a 30% reduction in runoff compared with conventional suburban development, according to a study completed for the state of New Jersey. We ask for your favorable recommendation of this proposed ordinance to Sussex County Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I have a copy of your comments?
Pardon me?
May I have a copy of your comments?
Yes. May I email them to you, though? Do I have to give them to you now?
I can read your handwriting. Had to do it before.
It gets worse.
That's fine.
All my notes on the back too. Can I have
If I get stuck, I'll call you.
Yeah, sure. I'll just make a copy of them tomorrow morning, send it right back to you.
For anyone else who would like to speak in regard to the ordinance regarding the multifamily parking?
Mr. Chairman, I have a clarification of my earlier comment. Somebody asked about the definition, if Ocean City had a definition, and they do have an interpretation guideline in their ordinance that says any room as defined by section 110-2, which I guess is the definition section that probably goes into more detail, as being an accessory room is to be treated in the same manner as a bedroom, and required parking shall be computed accordingly. This shall apply to all residential buildings except at detached single-family dwellings. So my guess is there's probably another definition, the definition section, but this clarifies the accessory question that we had.
So that would be a kitchen-to-kitchen, bathroom-to-bathroom. It
would be interesting to know what the definition is, how they...
Yeah, I'd have to go to the full...
Sounds like what they're saying is if it's a study, a den, whatever, they're still going to consider it a bedroom.
As a bedroom.
It's probably a good policy.
Yeah, they probably got burned on it.
Yeah. We don't normally allow people to come back, but I think since this is an ordinance, we'll let Ms. Baker come one more time.
I apologize to the commission, but Preston Shell was unable to stay for the hearing this evening. His babysitter failed to show up, so you saw the baby. That's why he had to leave. So I guess I'm acting as his agent on his behalf for this one. That's why I wanted to...
Now you're Preston Shell.
Yeah, now I'm Preston Shell.
Go right ahead.
She's a shell of a shell.
I'm sorry. He asked that I wanted to make it separate, sit down and come back. I apologize to you, but he was unable to...
Well, just for future reference, it's usually one trip to a person.
Thank you.
But
I will keep that in mind next time.
You.
For the record, my name is Wendy Baker from Bethany Beach, Delaware, and I'm here representing Preston Shell, who had to leave the hearing this evening, but he left materials that he wanted me to hand out for you all. It is his belief that the ordinance as rewritten and before you this evening addresses the nuances and concerns of the previous ordinance that was submitted to the Planning Commission on multifamily parking. And he wanted me to hand out... I believe that, is it Mr. Johnson that asked if there were any examples of the multifamily parking in condominium associations on crucial weekends? You asked about, was this addressing an overabundance of parking spaces? And this is to answer that question. The photographs were taken on Saturday, July the 3rd, 2004, at 7:30 a.m., and they were taken with a digital photograph, and they're available on disk, but I also have copies here for you.
Thank you.
Oh, I thought you were going to share.
It's the same photos that were submitted the last. Okay.
Apparently, and I apologize, I'm working from cryptic notes that he's written in the hallway. The first photographs are a set of North Village, the villages of Five Points, and that is 2.5 spots per unit for 90 units. There are 62 bedrooms and 33 bedrooms. The next set of pictures, which are the, so the first two are North Village. Then the next ones are the Town Center East, which shows three spots per unit, 120 units, and they're all two bedrooms. The next you'll come to is Sanibel Village. And and that is two spots per unit, 72 two-bedrooms and 36 three-bedrooms. As you can see, there are numerous. Spaces that are open. The fourth set of photographs is from Creekwood, which is 152 units, and they're all two bedrooms, and they're at 2.33 spots per unit. And then the fifth is Captiva Sands, and that's two spots per unit for 86 units. And the last one is the Tides, which is 93 units, three spots per parking space, and that's a mix of four-bedroom town units and two- and three-bedroom condos.
Are those projects entirely developed and available for occupancy?
Yes, sir.
Were all the units sold in them at the time that the pictures were taken?
Is your date right? Is it March?
It's 7-3-2004.
July 3rd.
It's not March 7th. It's July the 3rd.
Some cameras, for some reason, have the day
European.
And then the month. Because that caught my eye, too, but I figured that it must be the case.
I'd like to address...
leaves on the trees for March.
That's the cross-check.
While we're looking at these, could I ask you a question about the spaces? Is this under the old ordinance of three spaces per unit, regardless of how many bedrooms?
It was, and...
So this would take into account two bedrooms or one bedroom?
Correct. Units. Three, okay. Yes. In the cases where it says 2.5 or 2.3 or two spots, where there you can still see that even at 2.3 and two spots, that there were spaces that were still available. That was because we had gone back in and had gotten a conditional use. We've gone back into the Board of Adjustment and asked for an exception of two spaces per unit. And that's why some of them are at two spots. But when you go back and do that now, it's denied. So the reason that these photographs were taken was because we were anticipating another hearing at the Board of Adjustment level. And so that these photographs were taken on July 3rd, 2004, because it was in preparation for... going before the Board of Adjustment and saying, okay, we really don't need three spots per unit. That's why they were taken at that time. I'd just like to address a comment made by the gentleman earlier and in the record regarding the garage with the parking spot in tandem behind it and parking for guests. For 12 years, I owned a property management company in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I managed 18 properties from North Bethany to Rehoboth. And during that time, I had to give out parking permits on Saturday mornings. And guests, and even now living in a condo myself, when guests come over and there's a reserved parking space, and he may not have learned that yet, but I'll tell him a secret. If you're going to have an overnight guest or a guest for dinner, when you come home, park in the guest spot that's located near your condo, and then save your reserved spot out front for your guest that's arriving for dinner or is staying overnight. And it is difficult. I do empathize with him that overflow parking isn't immediately adjacent to condominium units. And the reason for that is because as developers, they try to plan space that's attractive. So if you have all of that asphalt near the building, I mean, you just have to have that much asphalt near the building just for the minimum requirement of three parking spaces per unit, let alone the overflow parking. And that does make a case for reducing the amount of parking spaces. So that's why overflow areas are located, you know, not directly next to that building, because you want to put in some open space around the building itself. Let's see. I think that was it. Any questions?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you again for allowing me to speak twice in one evening. I usually try to follow the rules, and I apologize for
my oversight. I'm well aware of that,
oversight.
And that's why we relaxed them just a bit for you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak in regard to the ordinance involving Waller Family Parking? Is there anyone on the commission have any further comments? Yes, sir.
Could someone else try and verify my calculations? If I have a and this addresses the issue of the reduction in parking spaces. If I have a development of 200 apartments or condos or whatever, and they're all three bedrooms apartments, or maybe even some two bedrooms in there, does that mean then I have two parking spaces per unit, or a total of 400? And since now we're over 200 units, I reduce that by 20% or 80 units. So now we have 320 parking spaces for 200 units. Is my logic correct in that?
I'm not a mathematician, but I think the idea is that it's for the units in excess of 200. Not if you have 200 units, you reduce it.
Not for the whole.
Right, it's only for the number over.
That's what I interpreted. Just the excess, not the whole.
If you have 250 units, it's the 50 units that you have.
15% reduction.
That has the reduction
for those 50 units.
15 or there's 20% for those.
That needs to be clarified.
Right.
Because I could literally interpret that as saying, okay,
you know,
I only have to put in 320 parking spaces because, you know, normally it would be 2 times 200 or 400. Now because I'm putting in 200 units, I get a 20% reduction. Now, so instead of giving you 400 parking spots, I only have to give you 320.
Right. Another thing that I think would be useful in these kinds of situations is to put a mathematical example right in the ordinance that shows how you calculate it. And that way, there's no question. I know lawyers don't do math, but they probably know somebody that does. And, you know, so when these things get written, you know, they can have that in there. Then there's no question anymore about how it needs to be done. Excellent. There you go.
This isn't the math example, but it's the kind of thing that you're speaking about.
Sure.
Yeah. I think this is an excellent display.
That makes it very clear,
parking,
you know, as to how it needs to be done.
Point well made.
Anyone else have any comments at this time? All right, then, we'll close the public hearing. Invite you all to remain to see if we make a decision. Or you may call the office in the morning, except for those of you up here with me, you have to stay.